The Inspired Disorder Podcast is brought to you by Onnit.com. That's Onnit.com. The makers of amazing supplements for you, such as Alpha Brain, Shroom Tech Sport, Shroom Tech Immune, and New Mood. Go to their website, Onnit.com. Check out the shit they got for you. If you want to save 10% on that shit, it's not shit, it's good stuff. If you want to save 10% on your order, type in the coupon code INSPIRED at checkout and you will save 10%. Holy shit. 10% on your order. Which I guess if your order is a dollar, then 10 cents would be what you save, but I don't think they sell anything for a dollar there. So you'll save 10%. And this is the 40th episode of the Glorious Inspired Disorder Podcast. So we are, I am drinking a 40, and I am also have available the 40 sack, which is a nice paper bag decorated with beautiful artwork that you can find at inspireddisorder.com/store. And because that is sold through Etsy, along with my fine artwork that is also for sale, if you enter in the code word inspired there, you will also save 10% on your fucking order, man. And you can get a 6-pack of the 40 sacks for $10. So, you know, do that shit, man, because that helps us out too. Both places help us out. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
Yeah. Let's get this shit started.
Welcome to the Inspired Disorder Podcast. Rebel podcasts inspired by life, love, stress, and setbacks. With your hosts Ray Taylor and Justin King. Disorder starts now.
Justin King, how you doing, motherfucker?
Doing fantastic. How you doing, Ray?
I'm doing good. I am almost done with my first Mickey's 40 ounce right here, and I have yet another waiting in the wings to replenish my palate, moisten my speech, and slow my brain down, which will counteract the alpha brain that I took about 2 hours ago. It is a battle. A battle of wits inside of my head. Yeah.
So it's, yeah, I would be joining you in said alcoholic beverages, but I am waking up at 6 a.m. tomorrow to go snowboarding for the first time in like a year and a half, so figured probably shouldn't be drinking no Mickey's tonight.
It's all good, man. It's all good. It was a last-minute idea on my way home, and I figured episode 40, might as well go some old school, because, you know, there's many times when we were recording in the past that I would drink me a 40 or two while we record or while I edited prior to the new setup. So, you know, for old time's sake and a good excuse for me to talk about my own merchandise on my website, you know, I gotta whore my shit out like a dirty skank on the corner of every street. You know what I'm saying?
We all do, man. We're all struggling artists.
I know.
It's necessary to, you know, maintain in this game.
You know, and as an artist, I'm just figuratively trying to get my dick sucked, you know? So so suck my dick by buying some of my project artwork, t-shirts, anything, everything.
It's a hell of a fucking simile you threw out there.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. To any of the male listeners, which I'm sure the majority of our listeners are men, I don't want you to suck my dick. And actually to the females too, because I actually have a girlfriend and she does listen to this podcast, however, and she might be listening right now. I don't want you to suck my dick either. So in like a metaphorical type of way, bring joy to me by going to my website and buying shit. But anyway, that's not what we're talking about right now, because that's boring, and I don't want to be boring. So, anything new happening with you, Justin?
Because
there's a lot of stuff going on, you know, a lot of things.
A lot of stuff. I mean, looking at it from, like, you know, a personal standpoint, I'm just, mm-hmm. you know, doing the same old in school at the moment, learning 3D or trying to learn Autodesk Maya, trying to get the whole 3D thing kind of like in my head a little bit enough to where I can succeed, at least get through the class.
Yeah.
They made us start modeling a like object in life, basically. And we had to like kind of make it like the first stage basically is we have to get the thing modeled and looking legit. Then second stage, like the second project, so it's going to be like texturing it and the whole deal, but we have to pick something to model. So I picked a lot of people were doing jets or like military things just because like there's a lot of like, you know, geometrical kind of patterns and stuff to those designs. I picked the F-117 stealth fighter.
Uh-huh.
So I'm trying to get that thing handled right now, basically. And it's like I picked it thinking that it might be kind of easy because it's a lot of like, you know, triangles, straight lines, basically. But that being said, you also have to be like really, really precise because the angles are all in like the exact like certain places, you know. Uh-huh. And it affords you less room for error, basically. So I might have screwed myself a little bit, but I gotta have it done here over the weekend. So I'll keep you all posted. I'll post up like the final rendered piece basically once I'm done with it. So,
mm-hmm. Sweet, man.
Crazy program though, man. It for anybody out there who's, you know, has Maya experience, basically it makes Photoshop look like a doodle program, like a Microsoft Paint or something. Like there's just so many options, and like just having to think in that third dimension all the time,
uh-huh.
like opens up this whole new realm of like, you know, shit that can go wrong, basically, and that you have to figure out why and fix. You know, it's insane, man. It's something I've never done before. It's like, it's kind of beyond, I don't know. I mean, I guess graphic design does come into modeling in 3D a little bit, but it's more of like, I don't know. It's more of like,
it's a different way of thinking, I suppose.
It's like a whole different medium. I mean, it's still artwork. I'm not saying it's not art, but it's just like this whole other medium that I didn't know was out there, you know, and like I'm still trying to kind of wrap my head around the whole thing because I've been a 2D designer for my whole fucking life up to this point, basically. Yeah.
So Photoshop is to painting-ish as 3D animation is to sculpting.
Yeah, I would say so, most definitely. Or like modeling in clay, for example, anything, you know, any kind of sculpting.
Yeah, for sure. Sweet, man. Well, that's cool.
It's a trip. I mean, I could see definitely the people growing up, like, who were, like, fine artists or character drawers or always doodling, like, full figures, like, uh-huh. you know, making environments, basically.
Mm-hmm.
If you're at that kind of level as a kid, like, just doodling or whatever, like, those are the people who will succeed in this realm, you know? I can see that right now, which, unfortunately, I wasn't, like, one of those kids growing up, so
yeah,
it's been kind of hard for me to kind of get used to it, but I can see, you know, I can see the need for it, and I can see the beginnings of that, you know. So it's a trip, cool, man.
Hey, man. One thing I've always said, just as an artist or, you know, whatever, creative person, the more I can get my fingers into different shit, the better it will help me overall, you know, because it just every new art form you get into, you know, it makes you think differently. Like when you go from, you know, a drawing or painting background, and then all of a sudden you're doing design work, like graphic design work. It forces your brain to think in a different way because you have a different goal, a different outcome for what you're working on. Or like tattoo design, you know, you can't, sometimes you could throw a tattoo design on a t-shirt, but you can't necessarily use a tattoo design as a website, and you can't necessarily use just a tattoo design as, you know, a painting. I mean, there's always, you know, exceptions to that rule or whatever, but I always find that getting into at least experimenting with different forms of art helps overall, especially like if you go getting into like photography and then graphic design and things like that. You know, that would allow me to, if I was working on a fine art piece, it would allow me to you know, combine all those things together if I wanted to, like take a picture and then get it modified in Photoshop, print it out, and then paint over it or some, you know, some shit like that. So it definitely opens up to a new, it's just like learning a new tool for your toolbox.
Yeah, definitely. And I think the trippiest part about it is like, it's kind of like revealed that layer of effort that it takes to make some of the stuff you see, you know, in the movies nowadays and games, the whole deal. It's like, I can see like the effort and like the actual like depth of what's going on there like now. So it's like, as far as being able to like break down how an artist did something or a certain technique or whatever, it's like, even though for special effects, I can kind of like visualize the process behind that. So it's kind of like putting all of the pieces together kind of in a sense.
For sure. For sure. Yeah, it was cool. I remember when I was real young, I was, I don't know, probably like preteen, early teens, something like that. I had a friend who I would visit on summer, like we went to first grade together or whatever. And I'd visit him during summer vacations, and his family was fairly, well, pretty wealthy, because they had a summer home in Hawaii. And so growing up, like, my family didn't have a lot of money, but they would pay for me to like go visit them in Hawaii and stuff like that. And his grandparents actually lived out here in La Mesa. And when I moved out to La Mesa, that was the whole, or when I moved out to San Diego, like, I at least knew La Mesa. Like, at one point in my life, I'd been there, you know. And when you move to a completely new area, it's nice to have the smallest thing be familiar. And on one of my trips out to San Diego, I don't know if we'd gone to Hawaii or not, but I'd visited him and his grandparents or whatever, and I was staying out here when I was young. And his dad was friends with the owner of Williams Video Games, which I don't think is around anymore, but they did, I want to say they did one of the versions of Mortal Kombat and a bunch of other games back in like early 90s, whatever. And we went and got a tour. They had a facility where they did everything up. It was in the San Diego area. I don't really know. I want to say it was probably like closer to like Costa Mesa, like maybe up closer to LA or something like that. But we went and did a tour of the, where they did, made the video games, and we went in and we went through the area of all the people that were doing character designs, and it was just people in front of like old CRT monitors designing like these 3D rendered characters. And like, they were just, each person was just working on a single character. And then we went into like the sound booth where, you know, they would make the original tracks or record, you know, voices and stuff like that. Although I don't think in video games there were too many voices. And then we went into like the testers, like the testing room. It was like this huge room, somewhat like cubicles. And, there was just TVs set up everywhere with people just playing video games, you know, with headphones on or listening to music. And then It was back in the day where they used VHS tapes to record. So they would record all of their gameplay. So basically, you know, video game testers, they would test to see like for glitches and shit like that. And super fucking interesting. And I remember my friend Max and I, we wanted to come out and get a summer job being testers one summer, you know, for summer break or whatever. But that never happened. But yeah, I remember that was like my first like introduction into like what computers could do in an artistic way. And also just seeing like the different departments that go into creating a video game back then. I can only imagine like if you go into like Pixar or, you know, DreamWorks or whatever, you know, that what that might look like. But
yeah, dude, I mean, they're render rooms basically, because like basically rendering like movies, like you know, any Pixar movie, basically just to render that stuff is out of control. You're talking like you know, months and months in certain cases, and they'll have like crazy, just like racks of servers and, you know, processors just handling that one job. It's a trip, bro.
Man, real quick.
But I hear you though, man. It's cool that you were able to experience that at a young age and see kind of like a behind the scenes of the whole deal, you know?
Yeah. I actually, after I moved out here, I had started my first graphic design thing that never really did .04, digital art design associates. I contacted my friend Max and tried to get a hold of his dad just to see if, you know, that guy still had a business going, if he was still in contact with the guy that ran that company. But he had long since sold it and retired. And, I was out of luck because I was thinking maybe I can get in there somehow. I don't know. You know, I'm creative. I know computers, stuff like that, but it never worked out. But that was like 03, 02 when I moved out to San Diego. So, you know, whatever. But real quick, I wanted to mention that Postal Poet, I talked to you about him before we started this episode. Postal Poet, I've been talking to him a lot on Twitter. He's in the chat room right now. Probably one of only himself. He's probably very alone in the chat room right now, but I just want to give a big ups to Postal Poet. And he's Postal Poet on Twitter. But anyway, I've been talking to him. So let's just segue right now. I'm going to change the subject from that shit. But if we want to go back, we can always go back because, you know, whatever. I'm very unorganized. But I've been talking.
Shout out. Let me shout out real quick to Postal Poet. What up?
Yeah, there you go.
Just got to say what's up.
A double shout out. It's a dual double. A double double. Double double animal style. So I've been talking to him. You're welcome for the shout out. I'm trying to get, now that we're kind of getting our groove back like Stella did in that one movie where she got her groove back, you know? It's so similar. I've never seen the movie, but I can only imagine that the similarities between that movie and our podcast getting our groove back. There's so many parallels. I can only imagine. But anyway, as we get our groove back, I've been wanting to get guests on because, you know, we got guests on before when we had the different format and stuff like that. I'm looking to get guests on the new podcast, and I've actually extended an invitation to Postal Poet to come on and, you know, whatever, we could talk about whatever, it doesn't matter. But he seems like a cool guy. And I've been going back and forth with him. He's been really cool about, like, you know, talking about our podcast and like hyping it up, which is always good, especially since we're basically starting from scratch again, you know, not only just our big like year and a half gap from when we recorded before, but also having to migrate the podcast to my site and the whole RSS thing. So you were basically starting from scratch again for the third time. So, you know, it's been cool to be able to not only talk to him, but there's, you know, a lot of other people. He's part of like the Death Squad community, which is different than a community. Because communities are for people that have had too many 40s to drink. And
What's up with your Mickeys, man? The drinking just stopped.
I don't know if you can see in the video, but I'm in the ass end of this one, and I'm about to crack open the other one that's sitting on ice because I'm a prepared just motherfucker.
Sure. Just keeping track, you know, making sure everything's on schedule, on schedule, as I say in the UK.
A schedule, yeah. So, it's
schedule.
Schedule. I've been, you know, one thing with our podcast, I mean, we changed a lot, you know, before we were doing this shit before with Derek. Big ups to Derek Helmer. Hopefully we can get him on the podcast as a regular guest. That would be awesome if he's available.
Helmer family is invited.
For sure. But it's changed a lot. it's changed a big deal. One, it's free, it's open. It's before the podcast was kind of like a guy going to work in a three-piece suit, perfectly combed, you know, Supercuts haircut. Well, not perfectly combed, but, you know, it was like a three-piece suit guy. And now the podcast is more like a naked hippie.
Damn, you with the metaphors tonight, man. Yeah. Mr. Metaphor over
I'm
here.
Mr. Metaphor. I'm loving it, though. You know, maybe I should change my nickname on Twitter to that, but I don't think I will. But yeah, so it's a lot more open now. And we can talk about a lot more. Obviously, there's things like, you know, you are looking for employment and I have employment and I'm looking to keep my employment, and neither one of us wants to say anything on this podcast that would hinder us from achieving our goals short term or long term.
Yes, I can second that statement.
Which we actually had a
podcast. What you just said.
Yeah. Which we actually had a podcast back in the Dizay about how the new censorship 2.0, I think, was like part of the title that episode. I think he had asked me, or he's been wanting to Postal Poet, that is. He's done a few blog entries. He actually did one. Let me give his address. Let me pimp his shit real quick. Since he's been pimping our shit, I'm gonna pimp his shit. I've got it somewhere. Okay. Go to deathsquadpodcast.blogspot.com. He's been writing blogs. I don't know how long he's been doing it. But I noticed the one after our last podcast, we talked about Monkey Todd, and he actually wrote a blog entry about Monkey Todd. And at the end of it, he mentioned our podcast, and he's done another one about Death. I mean, the whole thing's obviously about Death Squad. I think the other one was him comparing Death Squad versus the Joe Rogan podcast. And he's working on another one. And I don't know exactly what it's about. He was sending me direct messages today while I was at work, and which is awesome. I don't mind that at all. But, you know, I asked him to send me an email or whatever so I can get back to him, answer any questions he wanted. I think I can probably answer some of them now. I don't know how many I can answer, but send me your email anyway, Postal Poet. But I mean, Justin, what do you think in your words? You know, I mean, I have my own kind of direction and my own agenda, I guess you could call it, for this podcast. But in your own words, what is your goal? What is your intention with this podcast? Yeah, I mean, it doesn't have to be anything like epic or anything like that. It could be very simple. But, you know, what I want to know why do you do the Inspired Disorder podcast?
Well, I do the Inspired Disorder podcast because, A, I enjoy doing it, for one. Two, I just love it so much. No, I'm just joking.
Okay, so one.
Well, those things are all true, but those were the actual reasons.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, I just I enjoy, you know, it just the conversations, you know, catching up with you, one, because you know I've been friends for a long time now, so that's, you know, a big part of it. Just there, just, you know, hanging out with Ray, chatting with Ray, getting back to the swing of things, you know. Two, I mean, we talk about relevant topics that I think that a lot of people, a lot of other podcasts, a lot of news institutions should be talking about. I think we do a good job at, as far as this rendition goes, and the previous rendition, even though it's more geared towards tech, this rendition I'm actually enjoying more because it's such an open format, like you mentioned earlier, and just the fact that we can express our ideas and feelings to, you know, to the world, and, you know, basically inform people about topics and issues that we think is relevant that maybe not other podcasts or places are. So is that enough? Is that good?
You can talk as much as you want, man.
But
there's there's no not enough.
I definitely am enjoying this new format. I think it's refreshing compared to the, which at times felt kind of strict, the format before, yeah. You know, the
having to think about certain topics and research certain topics or whatever, just the effort behind the last format was kind of tedious for you and for everybody else, you know. Yeah. you mostly because of the editing you had to do and everything else and the show notes and everything else. So, you know, 9% of it's you. But at the same time, I just like, it's just more comfortable having this open format and not being held back by any kind of restriction on it has to be a culture or a tech or a, you know, whatever, like just basically like not censored in a way, but just like we kind of have to stick to certain things. Whereas this open format, we can talk about whatever the fuck you want, whenever the fuck we want. Yeah. So it's all good.
For sure. Yeah. And just to go a little bit more in depth on what the format used to be. When I first started, I didn't really know. I was copying other podcasts that I listened to that had kind of a regular format, a strict format, and kind of, you know, when we started, I definitely wanted to keep it geared towards art. And then I knew, especially with me, you, and Derek, we're all very tech savvy people. So I thought it would be very easy for us to talk about tech. So the old podcast was an art/geek culture podcast, or at least that's the subtitle for it. But yeah, it was, you know, it was very restricting as far as, you know, going what we could talk about. And it was, I don't know. I was trying to do something that wasn't really the right thing for what the podcast should be, especially, you know, with just my art and just what I like to talk about. You know, I like to talk about a more diverse set of topics than just tech, you know. And as far as art, that was a tough topic to fit in, especially since Derek, you know, it's not his fault at all, but, you know, I kind of threw it in there. Because, you know, I'm an artist and my website is for my art primarily. You know, he doesn't have any background in art. So it was kind of a struggle to fit in the things that interest me, like trying to fit in the UFC on a tech angle or try to focus on artists here and there. But it wasn't organic at all. Or, you know, there were times where it was easy. You know, there were times where we could go and talk for hours, and we did on tech. And
yeah,
you know,
we both like branch out quite a bit and go off on random tangents on whatever we felt like talking about. So it's not like it was like totally strict to where we had to like write a script for every episode. And in my opinion, anyways, it wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
But you know, it's still just having that structure that was in place.
Yeah.
Kind of made things a little stressful at times.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. That's my perspective on it anyways.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I just even a little bit more background, I'd put together outline for the show, like topics we'd talk about and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And we'd play games and stuff.
Name that geek.
Yeah, exactly. Which was fun, man. I enjoyed doing that stuff, but when the main reason I realized, like, especially after taking off the big break, and something that the reason why I started doing a podcast in the very, very first place was that, you know, I listen to podcasts a lot, and a lot of the times when I'm listening to podcasts, I find myself I wish I was on that podcast to voice my own opinion on whatever subject they're talking about. And, starting my own podcast, I felt like I was part of the conversation, even though it's not directly a part of whatever conversation I initially wanted to be part of, but I had a new voice in the online conversation. Like, you know, people have all different ways to have a part of the conversation. You could be on Twitter, Facebook, you can leave comments on blogs, you can have a blog, you can leave comments on podcasts. I mean, there's a lot of ways that you can be a part of the conversation. And that was the dog barking. And the dog barking symbolizes my need and my desire to be a part of the conversation, because I would be barking at my headphones and nobody would be listening, as we are not listening to the dog barking in the background. But thank you. Yes. And again,
she agrees.
Yes.
Yeah. A little bit of background on the barking.
It was a confirmation bark. I love confirmation barks because they sound more soothing.
They are confirmation barks. She's definitely agreeing with you.
Good.
I recognize I can speak to her in barks. I'm that talented.
Yeah.
But continue, please, Ray.
Sorry for that embargo. But that was horrible. That was a horrible pun. But anyway, yeah, I wanted to be able to – well, one, and since then, I mean, we started our podcast, I'm pretty sure, before Joe Rogan did, or around the same time. I don't know. I remember watching the first one, but when we started ours – I'm pretty sure it was before. I don't know. It doesn't matter. But I enjoy all, like, the Joe Rogan podcasts and the Death Squad podcasts, because most of them don't have a specific format. It's more of just a discussion about, you know, whether it's just two guys or three people or more. Just a discussion about topics that interest them that would naturally come up in a discussion, which I really wanted to have. So, of course, you know, we've already done a podcast together. We've worked together in real life. I mean, we've known each other for 10 years now, about a fucking decade, which is pretty long.
That's crazy.
And we have a lot of things in common. So I figured having you on would be an easy choice, especially the fact that, you know, you're in a position where you're available to do the podcast. Cause that was kind of another reason that, you know, it was really difficult. But you know, so, you know, even though, you know, I try to format wise, which is a lack of format, you know, I wanted it to be similar to a Joe Rogan type of podcast or a Death Squad podcast. But you know what, if any of the Death Squaders listening to this, I am not a professional comedian, nor is Justin. We are two guys that work regular jobs when we are employed, and but we do have similar — what's up?
I said, "Oh, how dare you!" But please continue. Yeah.
Well, that's not a burn, but it's like I was actually thinking the other day that we are like — the Inspired Disorder podcast is like the poor man's Joe Rogan podcast, right? Because
it's like the grassroots Joe Rogan experience.
Yeah, you look at Joe Rogan and Red Band, like, probably, you know, money, income wise. I'm employed. You're unemployed. I make more money than you. Well, you're making good money with unemployment, but whatever. That's neither here nor there.
Not that great.
Well, but you're surviving. You know, and that's, you know, similar in a way. We're like almost literally the poor man version of Joe Rogan and Red Band. We talk about similar topics. We have similar interests, although I do think we do lean a lot more towards tech, or we're way more knowledgeable, I would say. I mean, my ego — no, fuck that. I know for a fact that we're way more technologically knowledgeable than both of those guys. Red Band is very knowledgeable, don't get me wrong. But you know, I think we're a lot closer to the to what's going on, and we understand it a lot more. So you know, our shit's gonna be different. But at the same time, it's going to have the freedom to, you know, be hopefully entertaining to people, and easy for us to do, so we can keep doing it for a long time. You know, because this is only episode 40, but only, you know, we haven't even done 10 yet since we started back up. So
true, you know. True.
But I have no desire to stop doing this. I enjoy it like a motherfucker. Like I never realized how much I love doing podcasting until I started doing it again. And I — one weird thing, I'm like, my addiction to Twitter off podcasting versus on podcasting is like night and day. Like, I you know, I am so much more involved with Twitter while doing a podcast, not only just like networking and just trying to get more people to listen to our show, but also just connecting with people, whether just connecting for fun or just connecting, you know, for potential people to have on. But yeah, it's, you know, it's one of those things where it's, I enjoy the opportunity to be able to add to the conversation, the online conversation, you know? So.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, man. And it's cool to see other, you know, members of the Death Squad family, like Postal Poet and et cetera, okay, kind of like, you know, getting us respect and, you know, kind of giving us shout outs here and there and whatever. It's cool to see new fans that we're getting from, you know, shows that I think we're very similar to, you know.
Yeah.
It's all bringing it all into the family. It's all good.
I mean, we're very similar to a lot of that shit, but we're also very different because, you know, we're both artists. We're both, you know, we're both like your average fucking people. So
not it's the that, struggling artist. It's the struggling yeah. artist version of the Joe Rogan Experience. Yeah. Basically.
Although, what you know, is. Comedians in their own right are struggling artists. They're performers, you know.
Very true. And artist, such a, like, you know, basically open-ended word. So many definitions and ways you can describe it, you know.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of the comedians on the Death Squad Network, they're not like Joe Rogan status. You know, Joe Rogan is the cream of the crop, I believe, out of the Death Squad people. But, you know, that's its own thing, and we have our own goals. And, you know, part of doing this podcast, I have selfish reasons to want to do it. Obviously, I want to drive traffic to my website because, you know, I want to have I think in this day and age, if you want to be a business person and independently, you know, sustainable person in this environment that we live in, you know, there's one thing that I've heard a lot of people say, that a lot of people aren't going to college. I mean, the idea of going to college was to get a good job back in the day. You know, you go to college, you get a degree, and you can get a good job. Nowadays, it's the, you know, a lot of people are going to college to start their own business or just to create their own job, mostly because there's not a lot of fucking jobs, you know, as you know.
You know, oh, as I well know, yeah. I mean, you're absolutely right.
You know, I mean, right.
It's something to where any artist nowadays, you have to market yourself. You have to get your name out there. You have to network. That's mm-hmm. critical. That's more critical nowadays than having a bachelor's or an associate's or even doctorate or whatever you're trying to do. You gotta, you know, especially artists though, you have to really have to get yourself out there and, you know, basically market yourself over the next person who might have better skills than you. You know, according to one person, but if you have the network and they don't, you're going to get more work. That's the bottom line.
For sure. For sure. I'm about to crack open my next 40. Let me
fuck yeah.
do this in the microphone. Oh, if I can do it, because I'm a little girly, man. Oh, shit. It's all wet. That's what he said.
That's what she said.
Well, that's true. Jesus Christ. Fucking. Yeah. One thing about artists and people that sit by computers a lot, not that my day is spent in front of a computer, we don't have a lot of forearm strength. Well, in the right arm, we probably do, I suppose, but whatever. Anyway, that's neither here nor there.
Wink, wink.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, man, it's like, I mean, any business nowadays, I mean, you don't have to be an artist. Any fucking business should be in the business of new media. You should have a good web presence, you know, you should have a Twitter account, fucking if you want, a fucking Facebook account, you know, a website. You gotta have, like, there's certain things that you need to have nowadays that's just like, it's normal. It's like back in the day where if you were a business, you had to have your number in the phone book. Nowadays, nobody fucking uses a phone book. But you should have a fucking presence on the internet. And as somebody that's been trying to, you know, I started, you know, I wanted to be an artist forever. And it's taken me a long time to kind of figure everything out and figure out what the pieces are to put them all together. And, you know, everything that I've done leading up to this point has kind of been a learning process of a different piece, you know, a different piece of the puzzle. And, you know, and I think where I'm at right now, I think I'm able to put a lot of those pieces together to where hopefully, you know, I'm able to grow something into something substantial so I can leave my day job and I can, like, you know, be not only self-employed, but grow something like a movement, you know. And, you know, as far as Death Squad's concerned, I have a ton of respect for those guys. I have a ton of respect for Leo Laporte and the Twit Network. I have a ton of respect for, you know, Revision 3 and those online networks. I'm not necessarily trying to make a podcast network, but it is part of the overarching goal of things that I want to do with Inspired Disorder. And I think it's a very important part to have a podcast or podcasts. Because, you know, it's a major spoke in the wheel of anything that you would want to do, because, you know, it adds you to the voice, the conversation.
It's adding online to the brand. You're just establishing that too. And developing the brand, basically.
Yeah, I'm trying to build the brand. I'm trying to do all that shit too. There's a lot of shit I'm trying to do, and it's like, I don't have anything written down, which I probably should do, but it's just a lot of things that I've seen and I've heard and I've read and I've listened to and I've experienced and I've had mistakes and I've had successes. And it's like, I'm just trying to piece everything that I've come across that I feel would help to advance my overall goal of what I want to do. And part of it is this podcast. And I think we're at a point at this podcast where, you know, we are trying to get our groove back, like Stella. You know, let me bring it back to Stella.
Mr. Metaphor.
Yeah. But, you know, we are still getting the hang of, you know, just being able to talk freely and have conversations. And then once we start throwing other people in the mix, then we'll have to start getting used to that. But I think I don't see any reason why it's not just going to keep getting better, you know?
So, for sure. Yeah.
Especially, I mean, if,
you know, oh, go ahead. We're both developing new skills. You know, yeah. I'm getting the web thing down here pretty soon, and I'll be able to do whatever you need as far as web design goes here in a matter of months. So, you know,
for sure,
developing the brand, man.
That's another thing, man. It's like, you know, because I've done. We should probably change this. I'll talk a little bit more. We could talk a little bit more about that, but I want to just talk all about this. I don't want it to be like, this is like the self-masturbation episode of the Inspired Disorder podcast.
For sure. But, you know, we did get some new fans, so it's cool that.
That's very true. I guess, yeah, in some way, it's good to let our new listeners know kind of where we're coming from. And I don't know if I answered, Postal Poet in the chat room. I understand. He's got a job too. Can't be writing emails and during work hours, and I didn't really expect him to be doing that then, but I do await his email for whatever other questions he may have, because I do enjoy connecting with other people. You know, there's him, there's other people on Twitter that, you know, it's an amazing thing to create something that people are talking about. It doesn't have to be a lot of people, but just, you know, it could be three people, you know, do something that three people enjoy. That makes me happy. I'm not looking to take over the world, but if I do, then, you know, I'll have a good spot for them. But, you know,
you'll make them a nice mention.
Yeah. It's good to give people an overview, and I'm sure there's probably shit that, you know, other questions people might have, and they can definitely send them my way on Twitter. Send them your way on Twitter.
Come at us, bro.
What's up?
I said, come at us with the questions, bro.
Yeah, exactly. Fire them away. You know, you can, if you have any questions, Justin King is a good artist. And, you know, he's an amazing graphic design artist, and he's constantly growing his skills. If you ever have questions for him, maybe you're interested in getting into that field, or, you know, fuck, if you need some graphic design work done or some shit, you know, hit Justin King 1 up on Twitter.
Yeah.
Justin King and the number 1, you know, hit that motherfucker up, because, you know, we're not just doing this shit for fun, man. You know, I'm an artist. I paint, I do graphic design, I do that shit. You know, if you want some, I'm doing an album cover for a buddy of mine. He just came, he's a hip, I'm going to try and get him on, Randy. I don't know if you, do you remember Randy? Randy Mona?
I do, yeah.
Yeah. He finally finished the CD, and I'm working on his album artwork right now, and hopefully we'll get him on the show, talk about it, probably when I'm done with the album artwork. That way it all fits together nice and tidy. But shit, man, you know, we have I have a day job, and
I'm trying to get one.
We're trying to create something outside of the normal 9-to-5 bullshit. So hit us up.
Because, yes, I'm, you know, trying to create something like you just said, to, you know, it take place of the 9-to-5. So we'll see.
For sure. But, so if you need fucking graphic design shit or anything else, this is turning into a fucking commercial. I don't want to do this anymore. This is retarded. But yeah, that's feel free.
The thesis of the new Inspired Disorder podcast, brought to you by Ray Taylor and Justin King.
Yeah.
Now on with the show. Thank you so much for joining.
Yeah. But if anybody ever has questions for either of us, fucking Twitter us, or you can send me an email, inspireddisorder@gmail.com. If you have email questions or whatever, man. If you're an artist, and, you know, I'll retweet your shit, man. I love artists. I love seeing other people's art. Actually, Postal Poet was talking with there was somebody else on Twitter the other night about they both do writing. Obviously, Postal Poet does these blog entries. He may have other writing. I don't know. I don't know whether writing stuff he does. But you know, I'm working on writing shit too. I would love for them to read my shit, and I would also love to read their shit. You know, I love looking at other people's artwork and other people's creations. You know, I dig that shit, and I'll retweet that shit if you want. Send me whatever you want. I'll retweet it.
It's the same for me, by the way,
for sure. And like last week we talked about the Monkey Todd thing, and there was a guy, I got his name right here, at Mikey Hole, MikeyHol on Twitter. He did the, I posted up, it's on the blog on inspireddisorder.com/podcast for episode 39. There's a little video, you know, those Hitler video memes where it's like this scene from a movie and Hitler's like talking in German, but people like put funny subtitles.
Yeah, Hitler reacts to the whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. It was Hitler reacting to Monkey Todd. So we talked about Monkey Todd and the whole situation with Death Squad. So I posted that video up on our on the website blog entry. You know, shit like that, man. And then right after that, right around the same time, Postal Poet. So I put a link up to his article that he wrote on the whole Monkey Todd thing. So it's like, you know, I'm down to help other people, because it's all the community, and we're all going to help each other reach whatever goals we have for each other. So I think I really don't want to talk about all this anymore. I really feel like it's been a very masturbatory type of thing, just talking about Inspired Disorder.
And then you're going to just stop talking about it now. Once you got them all to that point, you're just going to blue ball the entire fucking nation.
Exactly. I'm going to get you this close to climax of Inspired Climax Disorder, and then just pull it away. No, I'm not that kind of podcaster. I don't go all the way on the first 40th episode. Okay. Maybe on our 80th episode.
Not even after two Mickeys.
I just started the second one, so who knows what'll happen. Maybe I'll get fully into it afterwards. But yeah, it's cool, man. I enjoy it. I enjoy, you know, connecting with new people. And it'll be really cool to get Postal Poet on the podcast. I'm trying to get in contact with my friend Jill, who's up in San Francisco. I think she started to put on art shows again up in San Francisco. And I got lines out to other people as well. And hopefully, you know, it'd be really fucking cool. You know, I don't know if it'll happen. I talked to you about it, you know, getting fucking Red Band on the show. Just because I think Red Band would have a lot. I think we would have a lot of shit to talk about.
Us three. Yeah, definitely. He's also very knowledgeable in yeah. tech. We can branch off into those subjects also. For
sure. We could just, you know. I mean, we have so many related things that we could talk about. But yeah, man, it's just fun. It's fun doing this shit, and it's cool finally getting it hopefully under control to where I don't have to worry about having to get all the subscribers that we used to have back. Because that's just, it's a pain, you know. So hopefully we're able to penetrate into an audience and have them follow us, not just on iTunes, but also thanks to Postal Poet one more time. You know, what I like to do on the Inspired Disorder podcast, let me just put this out there, Justin King. I not only like Preach. To masturbate the ego of the podcast and us, jerk our egos off. But I also love to throw a bone out to the same person over and over and over again in the podcast. Postal Poet once again, motherfucker. because he listens to podcasts streaming during his job. It's on his Twitter. It's public, and I kind of feel a little hesitant to talk about what people do for a living, because I myself do not want to talk about what I do for my day-to-day job. One, because I don't need that bullshit. I don't want to get fired.
It's dangerous nowadays, man.
It is. But on his Twitter, which is public, he is a mail carrier in Texas. He's a postman. And I actually feel bad when I found out, because I don't know if we actually talked about it on one of the podcasts or not, but I think we had talked about the Postal Service going out of business or filing bankruptcy or some shit like that.
Yeah.
I talk some shit, you know, mostly because I get 99% of the mail I get is junk mail. But, you know, there are people that do those jobs, and I don't want that industry to die for the, you know, and people lose their jobs. I mean, but at the same time, you know, I don't know. It's a touchy thing. It's, you know, but I don't want anybody to lose their job. So Postal Poet. None of us do, man. I know.
None of us do in these times, you know. It's just, it's always going to be around. The Postal Service will never, totally go away. As far as paper mail and stuff like that goes, it's never going to.
For sure.
You know, it's never going to cease to exist completely. There'll always be a need for it.
But so big ups to all the mail carriers of the US of A, because you guys do an amazing job. And I'm sure you don't like putting all that junk mail into people's. It's not your decision to be doing that shit. I know how it is. I don't do that, but I have to do bullshit on a day-to-day basis that I don't want to do, but it's part of my job, you know.
We just got to look at it as the junk mail is, you know, the junk mail being there in your inbox is, you know, it's coming from somebody. It's giving somebody a job, man.
Yeah.
That way.
Yeah. Well, you know, it would be cool. It would be cool. And I'm sure there's a lot of mail carriers that.
I said inbox, by the way, mailbox. I'm retarded.
It's okay. We're both retarded. Mentally deficient, I think. Is that the proper term? I don't want to insult any retards out there. I'm sure there's so many people that work in that industry that have ideas, better ways to do that shit. I'm sure it's like so many jobs that have been, or so many businesses that have been around a long time. They have like these like prehistoric ways of doing shit that I'm sure the people that actually work in that industry, that if anybody gave a shit about what they thought would be able to improve the industry and help it grow and be more efficient, like a hundredfold. So, you know, I, no hate for that. But anyway, Postal Poet, he's a mail carrier in Texas. So be good to your mail people, because it might be Postal Poet. All right. Fuck yeah.
Respect.
And,
to the mail,
but
man.
Yeah, he listens to podcasts on Stitcher. You know, streams them on Stitcher, and you know, he asked me if why our podcast wasn't on there, and I'm like, I don't know, man. I always thought, I didn't know the process of getting on Stitcher. I for some reason thought it was a thing where they just added you, or they, you know, I don't know. I didn't know it was something that you could just sign up for. So as soon as he did that, I went to their website, signed up, next day, bam, Inspired Disorder podcast on Stitcher. So the reason why the Inspired Disorder podcast is on Stitcher is because of Postal Poet. So you can, big ups to him. And, you know.
Awesome recommendation, most definitely.
It's also cool just to have another avenue of distribution, or just another way for people to listen to our show.
On that network.
For sure. So, yeah, okay, enough of the fucking masturbation of everything. No more. No more dropping seeds of knowledge.
Because the balls are getting a little blue.
They're getting blue. Ovaries are getting bored. And we need to fuck some bitches.
Freak up. Yeah, there you go. There you go.
It's yummy. Yummy. It's been a while since I had Mickey's. You know, I drink Mickey's. It's like my go-to 40 when I do drink 40s because of the UFC. Because back in the day, they were like the main sponsor of the UFC. Back when, you know, I first started, Toyo Tort Tires and fucking, you know, Al's freaking Wood Barn and fucking Mickey's. And Get Stung. I remember Bruce Buffer. anyway, yeah. So, you know, I don't know, man. I don't know where to go from this. Where do we go from this, Justin? What are we talking about? I know shit's happened. Oh, fucking Whitney Houston died.
Whitney Houston is dead.
Somebody needed a fucking bodyguard, and she didn't have one. Unless that's yeah, who did it.
That whole situation is just ridiculous because, you know, everybody's like, oh, you know, we're losing a fucking whatever. It's like, yeah, respect to Whitney Houston or whatever, but yeah. Everybody, if this shocked anybody, that's retarded because Whitney Houston's been an obvious drug addict for a long time now. And, you know, there has been reported stories that she's got out of it and this and that. But, you know, when you get on that hard, crazy stuff like that for a while, it's, you know, from what I hear anyways, it's not easy to, you know, stay away from it forever, basically.
Yeah.
And she was married to Bobby Brown, of all people, for a while. So, you know, you put two and two together. It's like the shocked feeling that everybody had was like, yeah, I mean, again, props to Whitney Houston. Definitely a legend, you know. I remember hearing her songs back when I was a little kid, back in like the, you know, early 90s, even like late 80s, I believe. I think she had some stuff out in the 80s, but can't remember. But maybe. Awesome, though.
I know, I 90s mean, the, for sure.
Immense talent, respect, like I said. But, you know, didn't shock me is what I'm trying to say, even in a, not to offend her, her, you know, memory or whatever, but it's wasn't much of a surprise to me, to be honest.
Yeah. You know, it's been so long since I've heard any Whitney Houston news. You know, she hasn't been very relevant in a while. Amazing voice.
Because of the drug abuse, and that's like the main reason why.
Yeah,
you know?
And she basically dropped off. I think she had one album or one hit song after the whole, you know, drug abuse thing with Bobby Brown and all that shit. Most of that shit, I believe, was before. But I don't fucking know, man. I was never a huge Whitney Houston. Oh man, Mickey's. Thank you for burping.
It's crazy because I see it on the stream like five seconds later.
Yeah.
Or not even that much. It's like 3 seconds.
Yeah.
So I heard you burp, and I'm like looking at the screen waiting for you to like do the motion.
What does his face look like when he burps?
The power of the internet.
Those are some of the added bonuses you get to watch, get while watching the Inspired Disorder video feed. you get to watch me burp.
Inspired Disorder video feed starring Ray Taylor.
You get to watch me get all scared of the microphone when I burp. And it looks like my hand is like covering it up, like I'm sucking on an imaginary dildo. But yeah, it's like I don't know, man. I was never into her music. I was never into that music. She was always a good singer. But you know, it's never, everybody's fucking dies. Everybody dies. You know, people that take a lot of drugs, abuse drugs a lot. And when I mean drugs, I mean like hard drugs, the actual drugs that kill people, like heroin or cocaine or crack. People that abuse drugs, those drugs, it's going to happen, you know? So it sucks, you know, music lost an amazing talent. However, I believe that amazing talent has threw her talent away years ago. So who knows? But that is some news that happened for sure.
It is some news. Other news, you know, as far as around the world with the Despire Sort of podcast, worldwide news, world section. Here we go. Syria is basically like falling apart right now. It's like the same thing that was happening in Libya, basically, but even more crazy because they have a more developed military and the whole deal. It's if you have looked into that, yeah, I'm not sure if you know about the whole situation, Ray, but it's pretty screwed up, man. And I think I'm not sure if they already are enacting the Twitter censorship stuff, if that's going on. But yeah, it's basically falling apart. It's like the next Libya is what's going on over there. So it's crazy, man. It's like shit's revolution after revolution over there.
You know, everything's falling apart. Well, I think, you know, like we were talking about in the last podcast, you know, it's these are kinds of things that happen when everybody across the world is able to communicate, you know, not only to organize within an uprising or whatever, but, you know, people that live in an area where they don't realize that things can be different in other places, they're able to, now they're able to realize those things and able to, you know, take action to change that. I mean, I don't know what the issue is in Libya or Syria, but, you know, it doesn't surprise me. If anything, it's like, I don't know, it seems like it's a ticking time, you know, before this thing could happen possibly in the United States, you know. I don't know. I don't want it to happen. I'm a big fan of being rebellious and not giving a shit about stupid, you know, like if there's something that's stupid that's going on, I'm a big fan of people standing up saying, hey, this shit's stupid, which a lot of people don't do that. They kind of just, this is like, well, this is just what we've always done, so let's just keep doing it this way. And I think because of the big communication, like everybody's communicating and everybody's more connected than they've ever been, I think that's leading to, you know, a lot more of this type of rebellion type of thing. Although I don't know what the fuck, I have no idea. I'm talking completely out of my ass. But I, you know, I don't know. I don't know what's going on there. I don't know what the reasons are. I don't know if it is because of everybody's more connected, but it's crazy. I don't even know where Syria is. This is like public education right here. I don't even know. If you gave me a map, I wouldn't be able to point out Syria. I know where Siri is because she lives in my phone.
Siri. Oh, there you go, Mr. That's Metaphor. Right.
But I don't know Siri. Yeah, man, it's, I was listening to, there's a podcast. I listened to Twit, which I mentioned before, which is more of a, is This Week in Tech. It's kind of an overview of tech news. One of the guests they have on there a lot is John C. Dvorak. And he's kind of like a, he used to have a, another show called Cranky Geeks. He is kind of like an old cranky tech guy. But he has another show called No Agenda, which I finally, you know, I've heard about it for years, and I finally listened to an episode today, and they were talking about the Whitney Houston thing, and they were talking about Syria. So because I'm not very interested in either of the subjects, I wasn't really paying that much attention. But it seemed like one of those shows that were like conspiracy theory, which the co-host of John C. Dvorak on that show, they mentioned on a previous Joe Rogan podcast that he might be on a future Joe Rogan podcast. Let me see. Adam Curry, I think his name. I could be wrong. Which is kind of the head guy of the No Agenda show. But they, it seems like one of those, you know, Alex Jones, like conspiracy theory, like we're connecting all the dots, so listen to us as we explain how they're connected type of shows, which could be pretty interesting. I don't really follow news, political, you know, world news that much. I don't watch TV. I don't watch the news. You know, if things come up, you know, that are, that actually mean something to me, or if something big happens online, you know, then I, you know, that gets my attention, then I'll follow it. But I don't know where I was going with that, but yeah, that's, it's, they were talking about Syria, and it seemed pretty interesting. You know, I don't know. It's,
well, I just thought I'd bring it up because it's basically anarchy and chaos going on over there. It's like, you know, I don't think any of us have ever experienced, not much as far as our, you know, our listeners, obviously a different story, but ever experienced that kind of situation before, you know, like that, that amount of just insane chaos happening around you. It's just, it's scary. And I'm with you. I don't want to see that shit ever happen here in America ever.
You know, there's Sorry.
I wasn't going to say, but, yeah, that was it. That was the reason I brought it up, you know, just because it's crazy.
It is crazy. Yeah. I don't know. There's part of me that would love to be a part of a big change, you know, but any kind of big change that we would get would be like, would have to be really fucking big and probably get violent.
Oh yeah. It would have to,
you know, like in my opinion, in my slightly uneducated opinion, or very uneducated opinion, you know, it seems like our government, it doesn't matter, you know, it doesn't matter who's in office. Whatever is going to happen is going to happen. People are going to take advantage of the control they have to make money. And just the way our system's set up, a lot of the government organizations and things like that, how they've been able to, you know, just siphon money and get more. I mean, you look at like Homeland Security, how much money is being poured into that now, where that used to be the Coast Guard and Customs, like a lot of departments that you wouldn't think of being part of what is now Homeland Security. You know, and it seems like there's so many different pieces to the puzzle. I think I may have said this on the podcast before. I was talking to a coworker of mine about the government, how much there, you know, how much red tape there is. And it seems like I compared our government to an Etch-a-Sketch full of lines. Like there's so many different pathways and so many different avenues of things that any kind of change needs to go through before it becomes a reality, which takes so much time, especially in an age where everything moves so fast. It's like we're the process in which things need to happen, at least in our government, take too much time. And it's like the Etch-A-Sketch is such so full of so much mess that it's like we just need to take it, tip it upside down and shake it, and just start over, man.
Sure. There's so much obvious, you know, we've talked about this before on other podcasts too, but there's just so much blatant corruption now.
Yeah.
That just is in every, you know, every avenue of how our government works, not just the very top. You're talking about like trickling down to local levels in most cases, you know?
Yeah.
As far as being, you know, bribes, you know, lobbying, lobbyists, you know, the whole deal is just money. Greed basically is what is just poisoned our democracy so far. You know, it's so out there and obvious too. It's not like I'm not saying this on my own opinion. I mean, this is what everybody at this point knows.
Yeah.
You know, it's that's the craziest part about it is that this isn't me just stating my opinion. This is like, if you're paying attention to what's going on with our government at all, and you know, hearing it from other sources besides the actual government, you will know, you know, that there's some issues there. There's a couple issues there.
There are some issues there. The fucked up thing is that, you know, how obvious it should be to people that, you know, all these things are happening. It's not. Some people have in their brains, like, they can justify everything that's going on, you know? Like, somehow they're able to justify everything that's going on and not see that there's a big problem. I don't know. And I don't know. It's like,
it's a heavy topic, man.
It's depressing, you know? It's depressing because, I mean, one, it doesn't seem to matter who you put in office. It doesn't seem to fucking matter. Even though there's so many people thinking that if Ron Paul gets into office, that something will change. It's like, I don't know why people think getting, you know, like, just because he's not part of, you know, he's kind of like an underdog type of guy. It's like, there's people that say, like, there's Joe Rogan that says he's disappointed in what Obama's done. He thought he had voted for Obama. He thought he was going to do certain things. And it, to him, he said that it doesn't seem to matter who the fuck you put in that place. The same shit's going to happen. Yet, he still seems to push for Ron Paul, which is fine. I don't, you know, maybe there's a glimmer of hope there in Ron Paul that he thinks that maybe things will actually change, or maybe he thinks that somehow Ron Paul's going to magically get the control that he needs that the other presidents that have wanted to do certain things have said, or maybe he just
actually do what he is saying is going to do. I know, man.
Yeah. It's like, who's to say, you know, and it's like, I kind of almost, I don't know if I'm going to vote in the next election. I don't, you know, I don't necessarily give as much of a shit as I used to. But part of me almost hopes Ron Paul gets in. You know, and, you know, whether you like him or you don't, I don't think it's going to matter. So at least hopefully that will be another example to the people that already believe, like Joe Rogan, that, you know, it doesn't matter who's in office, what the big businesses and what the money makers of the world want to happen will happen. It doesn't matter who's in office, despite who you put in there.
Well, it's because the overall, I mean, as far as what's actually making the rules up, is who's deciding these rules. It's not the presidents, in my opinion. It's the will of the corporations. You know, it's all based on money and the acquisition of money. I mean, I agree. I mean, Ron Paul, like, you know, there's some things he says that I agree with. There's some things that he says that I don't agree with. Mm-hmm. But the thing with Ron Paul, it's like, I have the same feelings for Ron Paul that I kind of had for Obama the first time around back in, you know, 07, 08. And, you know, thinking that this is the guy, you know, like, but so, and look, and with Obama, it's like, yeah, he's accomplished a lot, but he's also not done a lot.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like a mixed bag with Obama. So I can't like totally say I'm disappointed with the guy. He has done a lot of good things, but he's also done a lot of things that he didn't do a lot of things he was supposed to do or said he was going to do.
Yeah.
And
or did the opposite.
Be that.
I mean, you look at the Ron Paul and it could be the exact same way. I mean, if I was to bet money on it, I would bet that it'd be the exact same situation. Going in, talking change, you know, talking change and talking, making things right, talking justice, the whole nine yards. Mm-hmm. And then he gets in office and, you know, all of a sudden it's a totally different story. It's like almost like, you know, the powers that be have their holds on him at that point, you know?
Mm-hmm. For sure.
The powers that really be.
Yeah. I don't know. And it's like, part of me wants him to go in. So it'd be like all the people that have like the last glimmer of hope that gets crushed, you know? It's like, I want everybody that has hope to get just crushed, demoralized, so they can realize like, okay, it's not going to take this president or that president or this guy or that guy or this girl or that girl to change within, you know, a presidency or whatever. Like that's not the piece of the puzzle that's the answer to the question that we're all asking, you know? It's like, there's a bigger issue, especially now. It's like everybody wants to think, everybody's still in the old school mindset of countries and you know, like there's regions and countries and these people do this thing and these governments do this thing. It's like, no, everybody's controlled by money. I don't give a fuck who you are, what you think you are, whether you're North Korea, South Korea, United States, Canada, Mexico. Everybody is in it for money, which is weird because it's a made up thing that means nothing. It just happens to be something we all agree upon. But that's what...
It would appear that there are technical difficulties resulting in a loss of brain power as well as train of thought. We now leave you with your host frantically trying to remember where they left off. Oh no, it's already infected by brain. Goodbye.
Okay, we're going again. I don't know what happened. I don't know where we stopped. Hold on, I'm going to stop it and see where we stopped. All right, so... Okay, so, fuck. I know I just listened to what we were talking about, but, the world is run by money and corporations. It's not run by, I think people's viewpoint on what's, I mean, I talked about this before, and like, I'd like to see a map based on, I think it was banks or something like that. But it's like our human existence on this planet is no longer sectioned off by imaginary lines in the sand where we live. It's not geographically based, right? Like we're recording a podcast back before there was any technology. Telling stories was whoever was around the campfire at the time. Now we talk and our stories, quote unquote, or our conversations can spread all over the world. You know, anybody in any part of the world that has access to internet can listen to our conversations, you know, and that's never, you know, 10 years ago, that wasn't possible. Well, maybe 10 years ago, maybe it's like the beginnings of this shit was possible. So I think I totally forget what my point was on all this shit.
I think the point you're trying to make was basically that, you know, as far as, you know, the true powers that be, it's out there because, you know, it's, we're all connected now. It's like you can't hide that kind of stuff anymore, you know? WikiLeaks was a huge stepping stone as far as all that goes. But, you know, Twitter's a huge part of it also. It's like, it's just, you can't, these corporations and, you know, this bullshit, the lies, that everything else they're doing, people are going to find out about it. You can't keep that shit secret forever. Mm-hmm. All it takes is one person finding out and putting it on the internet and spreads all around the world in a matter of seconds.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's
all it takes is one thing happening, one malfunction in their plan, basically.
Yeah, I think I think what I was trying to get at is, like, we're in the U.S., we're so preoccupied on trying to figure out who we should put in government. And I think that's, like, we should be concerned about other things rather than that. Like, if it's true that the people in charge of our country are really not in control, like lobbyists and big business actually have control, then maybe we should shift our thinking from, like, who's this person we're going to put in office to control this, you know, rather than actually realizing what the issue is and what can actually control that, and then focusing on that. Whatever the fucking answer is to that question, I don't know, you know, but I think at this point it's kind of a transition where people are realizing that their priorities of how things are run, or the reality of what people think of how things are run, is changing. Where, you know, you can have a movement like Anonymous or Occupy Wall Street that stretches over borders and boundaries and language, and it's all connected via technology and the internet. I mean, that's something that we've never had before. And that's not something that's anything's been voted into anything. You know, there's no votes on this. This is just something that's organically sprung up. Whether it's always right, whether it's always wrong, whatever. But at least there's that opposition to the whole side of what's going on. So, I don't know. I guess in general, my big thing is, like, I really want there to be a big change. But a big change is also scary because it could also be a big violent change, you know. It could be a war, a freaking, you know, a war within, you know, another, what was that called, where the U.S. was fighting the U.S. I'm feeling really stupid right now.
Civil War.
Thank you, Civil War. Alpha Brain, apparently, and Mickey's counteract each other. Like, I'll get like this stream of ideas, this verbal stream of things that I want to say, and like this long point that I want to make, and go in depth and hit on all these different topics. And then all of a sudden Mickey's knocks on that door and it's like, hey man, what were you talking about?
Why are you being all serious?
Like, yeah, it's relax, like, bro. Yeah, let's watch some UFC, which I missed the UFCs the other night. People at work were talking to me about them, and it's like, I couldn't. I know Diego Sanchez fought, and I believe he lost. And I was talking to a guy that I work with about that. Let's just change this. I'm just changing gears, obviously. From heavy political shit to UFC, which is Mickey's did that to me, just so you know.
It's all good.
We ran
the political gamut on previous episodes, so yeah, it's all good.
I don't follow politics enough to really want to talk about it too much. Plus, it just pisses me off. It just gets me depressed. It's like one of those big things in life where it's like, there's not a whole lot I can do, you know? So, yeah.
It can still be, I mean, my opinion, just to put a conclusion on that whole situation anyways, is, you know, I think it can still be fixed, and there is time. And there is, you know, hope, basically. I still think that we are headed towards a better future. We just have to go out there and get that future, you know?
Mm-hmm. For sure. I mean, I think
Future happen for all of us, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think we're at a time in history that things are moving and changing so rapidly, that change is inevitable. And all over the place. I mean, you look at examples like just industries, like entertainment industries, like music industry, movie industry, print media, like books and things like that. Those old industries are all changing, like, drastically within the past decade, and still changing. So there's no reason why other big industries and organizations that were set up in this old model aren't going to change too, you know? And I think, you know, obviously the internet's a big part of that, but I think because of the internet, it's allowed people to access things way more easily, whether it's information or, you know, whatever it is, you know, music, movies, information, pictures, books, education, speeches, lectures. You know, there's never been a time like this that I know of. I just got a tweet. I think I got a tweet. I should not put my phone by my crotch. That's like, that's gotta be like the worst place to like put your phone. Anyway, I'll read that shit later. I'm sorry. I don't even remember where I was at.
Well, just get into your UFC stuff, man. Cause,
okay. Yeah. So anyway,
wrap it up here soon. Anyways, I gotta be up in like 5 hours.
For sure. And I don't even have a lot to say. Diego Sanchez. I really want to watch the fights. I heard he lost. The thing with Diego Sanchez, I love the guy. I'm a big fan.
He's crazy. You know, I'm also a fan.
Yeah. I watched him on The Ultimate Fighter back, I think it was the first season, with like Forrest Griffin and Kenny Florian and all that. He was a crazy motherfucker. He did really good when he got into the sport, and he's been really inconsistent, and I don't really know why. You know, I mean, he's changed training camps and things like that, but it's kind of disappointing, you know, to see him not really performing as well as he could. But I really need to watch the fights, but I miss those because I didn't even it was on a Wednesday, you know.
Yeah, I remember hearing about that. That's really random for you. Isn't that random for UFC?
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was on Fuel, which is, you know, now that they're with Fox, they have Fox, FX, and Fuel. And Fuel's like the third rung. So I could see why it would be like a Wednesday fight or whatever. But yeah, I still need to watch those because UFC is a motherfucking awesome shit.
That was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I know it
UFC
is.
UFC is a motherfucking awesome shit.
It should be a song. And if anybody wants to sing that song, I will not charge you royalties. Yeah, man. I don't know what else we have to talk about. I know you got to get up early because you got to go snowboarding. And we could talk about that again.
So I can go hurt myself tomorrow because I'm going to get hurt, dude. I can already like just feel it.
Well, just don't get hurt bad or anything, you know.
It's going to be like powdery snow up there. So,
well, that's good.
That's what I'm hoping for.
Where are you going snowboarding? Where are you going?
Snow Valley, which is up in the San Bernardino Mountains. It's on the way up to Big Bear and Snow Summit. Okay. It's kind of like, I don't know, maybe 3/4 of the way there.
Okay. And right you've been snowboarding before. How long have you been snowboarding?
Oh, I've been snowboarding for a while now, actually, like probably 6 years, 7 years.
Okay.
Off and on. I mean, I didn't go at all last season, and I went like twice the year before that or season before that. So. Yeah. It's just I'm real rusty right now.
Yeah, that's cool, man. That's one thing I've always wanted to do, but this time of year I never have any fucking money, so I've never been able to do it. And now it's like it seems like every little thing I end up hurting myself.
Yeah, dude.
So
30, you can't really mess around that much at 30.
It's so fucking weird, man. You get to 30 and bam, shit starts like becoming like balsa wood. It's retarded. Yeah, well, that's cool, man. If it take pictures or video or whatever, and I'll try and throw it up on the next podcast.
Yeah, we'll do
when we do that. And let's try and do another one, because it's been like a little over a week since we did our last one.
Yeah.
Let's try and get another one in sooner. Yeah,
for sure. Yeah, most definitely. I was sidelined by it.
Well, yeah, crazy, you got
like
sick.
48-hour like crazy sinus infection.
Yeah,
thing.
It's been weather in San Diego. It's been horrible, man. I don't know what all these East Coast people with the whole snow and blizzard things complain about, but in San Diego, let me tell you, it went from like 70, 80 degrees to like 50, and raining okay, raining. And people in San Diego do not know how to drive in the rain, okay? So...
And just, our bodies don't have the immune system to handle those kind of temperature
exactly.
fluctuations.
Plant life out in San Diego, which is, there is plenty of plant life in San Diego. When yeah. it rains, it gets to this fluctuation thing during the changing of the seasons in San Diego. For all those listening to this podcast buried in a snowdrift or wherever you may be in your luxury cabin under the snow. In San Diego, where times are tough, the weather fluctuates during spring and fall, where it gets really hot and then really cold. And by really hot, I mean like 80 degrees. And then like by really cold, I mean like 50 degrees. And it makes plants go fucking apeshit. You know, it's like Viagra for plants. So pollen gets let out and everybody gets fucking allergies. And that was all sarcasm, by the way. I don't mean to disrespect anybody that's in actual bad weather. Just, I don't know how serious I'm making this. I don't know how my sarcasm comes off. But, yeah, man. Everybody's getting sick. Everybody's allergies are going fucking crazy. Yeah. And then plus it was Valentine's Day, so.
That too.
You know, I had to do my adult scream of joy for Valentine's Day. And so we had some shit to do, you know, but we want to get this shit going.
For sure. No, there'll be another one here real soon. Yeah. I guarantee it.
For sure. But until them, I swear to God, I need to like figure out how to use words better, especially if I'm going to be doing a fucking podcast.
It's the war going on in your head, man. It's the alpha brain versus the Mickeys. Yeah,
exactly. It's the war going on in my head. It's the Syria war against the Lithuanians.
That you looked up using Siri.
Yeah. That's the only reason.
Drinking your episode 40 ounce.
That's right. That's right, motherfuckers. 40 ounce to freedom for the 40th episode of the Inspired Disorder podcast. And if you wanted to purchase nice little customized covers for a 40 ounce of your own, you can go to inspireddisorder.com/store and click on the 40 sack and you can buy that shit. I sell them in a 6-pack. If you're looking at the video right now, 3 different designs, and you can put your motherfucking 40 in a motherfucking 40 sack and look stylish walking down the street, pick it up on the hose. So you can do that. And if you want to save 10% on your motherfucking order on that shit, enter in the code word inspired at checkout and you'll do that. And that goes for Alpha Brain, and all the other supplements from onnit.com, onnit.com. Enter in the code word inspired and you can save 10% on that shit too, motherfuckers. And of course, you can always find us on iTunes. Inspired Disorder Podcast, I canceled the old shit. The old shit's gone off of iTunes. Only the new shit on iTunes. I was going to wait a month, and I said, fuck that bullshit. I'm going now. Let's go live. Fuck this shit. We're going live. We're going to do it live. So now, iTunes, Inspired Disorder Podcast, subscribe, tell your friends, rate, and comment on the motherfucking show. And go to Stitcher.com, motherfuckers. Download the app on your mobile phone, iPhone, Android phone. I don't care. I think they got both. I'm pretty sure they do. If not, they better make this shit going good. That made no sense to me. But go to Stitcher.com, Stitcher Radio, Stitcher. I don't know, Stitcher.com. We're on Stitcher. If you know what I'm talking about, listen to our podcast. You can also go to theinspireddisorder.com. Is where I have all my shit, my portfolio, other shows that I've done, all my artwork's up there. And you can buy all kinds of stuff from our store, like an Inspired Disorder t-shirt. And you can buy artwork, and Inspired Disorder t-shirts and other merch. And you can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/RayTaylor. And you can follow Justin and find Justin shit at his stuff. And that is
That would be jkdesigns.co for my portfolio, all the work I've done up to this point for the most part. You can also find me on Twitter. I am at JustinKing1. That's where you can find me. So find me.
Sweet. And yeah. So thank you for listening to another episode of the Inspired Disorder podcast.
We'll be back sooner than rather than later next time. Right. And y'all come on back now, you hear?
Yeah.
Hey, howdy.
Howdy.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Inspired Disorder podcast. Embedded signals within this podcast have reprogrammed your natural thinking patterns. Side effects may include lack of inhibitions, erectile dysfunction, anal leakage, transcendental communication with beings from 4 of the 7 primary dimensions. In the event of a tear in space-time, please keep your hands down and feet together. Any loss of life or limbs due to interdimensional travel is not the responsibility of this podcast.